every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALSLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPACGA. Bless you. Or any of them. Yeah, we don't speak for anybody. The opinions are ours and ours alone.
You can speak for me, Bruce, if you like.
My opinion sucks, so.
I could probably speak for you sometime.
You could. I could speak for you.
I know you could. I could be the first son of the first son of the first son. Gonna snort some coke.
And I could spend 9 years trying to get
90 days.
Someone's gonna climb in the hot tub, a naked girl gonna climb in the hot tub with the cocaine, and says, "I'm going to the bathroom. I'm praying in the bathroom.
God help me.
Hey, let's get the hell out of here.
Get me out of here."
By the way, welcome all my friends
to the show that never ends.
We're so glad you could attend.
Come inside.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Awesome.
You bet.
I started out last time.
That's right.
We had a little glitch.
They don't even know about.
Well, no, you guys don't know about, but we'll tell you about it anyway, because it's part of bantering. We took a break during the last show. We came back. There was no show. We didn't do anything. We didn't change anything. We didn't turn off anything. For once, it was not me screwing something up. It's not like I saved it wrong. We did just nothing, and suddenly it was not there.
The show was gone. Half the show was gone.
And I had clicked to record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay. Because
yeah.
We saw it recording. So.
Yeah.
That, oh, we got Peanut Gallery.
We have peanuts. Ooh. Yay.
Awesome. Ooh. Okay, so.
What? So
we introduced ourselves.
We did.
Yes, we did.
We did?
Did we?
No.
Who are we?
Hi, I'm... Well, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
I think we did that.
I don't think we did.
Well, we'll know in a minute.
If we did it already, don't cut it out, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Leave it here twice. Because then we'll figure out we are really, really, really going sideways for that last
show. They told me that weed would destroy my short-term memory, and I said, no, it won't.
No, what won't?
I can't remember.
Not either.
Yeah.
I have fibrofog. You guys got CRS. We're in fine shape to do this.
Oh, CRS for sure. Yeah. Can't remember shite.
Introduce us.
Yeah. Hey. Welcome, Jerica. Well, you know what I think?
What?
No, I don't.
I think that it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. Peanut Gallery's looking at us like, that's so freaking professional.
Yeah, right.
Some places just hit a button for that.
Some places.
We go live and in colors.
I wish they had something that we could grab off of, like Anchorman to use.
Okay. All right. Since we messed up the last one, I'm going to go back and do a couple of those over because I just like them. I just liked them. Okay. Ample leg crossing time. Mark
okay.
is investigating. Was something scurrying?
Something's trying to get out.
Oh, because we plugged in the yeah. rodent zapper keep away air thingy. Yeah. Ample leg crossing time. We were back in England. Jason Martin got into a little bit of a tiffle with Richard Henderson.
A tiff.
A spat. Henderson sent
a wee spat.
Yes, a wee spat.
He is a mate.
Henderson sent Martin a text message asking him to turn down his music. God forbid you should actually leave your domicile and walk 10 feet next door.
My kids text message each other across the dining room table.
I'd do it.
I know. I don't get it. That drives me crazy. You see a whole group of kids, and nobody's talking to each other. They're all texting.
That's because they're all talking about each other.
That's so rude.
You can't talk. You can't say, man, look at that outfit she's wearing. What a slut.
I can't say that out loud. I had a guy send me an email while he was sitting having lunch with me. Really? I got back to the office. I looked and said, did you actually send me an email while we were sitting together?
All right. So at any rate, Martin got a little bit irritated at receiving this text message and marched next door to confront Henderson about it, whereupon they got into the aforementioned argument. And during the scuffle, Martin bit through Henderson's pajamas and severed his penis with his teeth.
Allegedly?
Allegedly.
How can you allegedly?
As Henderson...
The facts are the facts.
Well,
yes, as Henderson told the court when this went to the... Martin was arrested, my willy was not attached to the rest of my body. I have never experienced that kind of pain to this day, and I don't want to experience it ever again.
I never want to say those words.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Does the defense say anything?
Yes. Well, so the prosecution is alleging that he bit through his pajamas and bit off his penis.
How does he get down that close?
I don't know.
Without the other guy beating the crap out of him. Excuse me while I put my face down by your willy.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. What other purpose would there be?
What are you going to do?
Yes, the prosecution alleges that this is what happened. The defense says this couldn't possibly have happened because Martin only has about 4 teeth.
Meth head.
So he has none on his bottom.
Meth head.
Yes. So we shall have to see what the outcome of this is. He does have dentures, but he says they're only for cosmetic reasons, and he wasn't wearing them at the time.
Oh.
So he kind of gummed the guy's willy off.
That sounds even more painful, actually, to
be
honest.
The story is not getting better. Ow.
All right. Now, we are moving on to Texas, because I really like this one.
Tejas.
A Texas man, his wife suspected that he was secretly drinking, because he'd show up and completely hammered at really odd times. But they come from a family that drinks, they'll have a beer once every 2 months on a Sunday picnic or whatever.
I don't get that.
How do you do that?
Yeah. I can't relate.
So they're, his wife, is thinking, what is going on? Because he keeps showing up drunk all the time. Finally, he was so drunk one day that his wife called an ambulance. They took him to the hospital. The doctor started laughing at him because he kept saying, I haven't had a drink. But his blood alcohol level was 5 times the legal limit.
That's a grip.
So they sent him home. His wife started noticing that after a while, he would behave oddly after he ate things like toast and hamburgers with buns. So, back they go to the hospital, and it turns out that, yes,
he's making his own booze.
He has a biological form of brewer's yeast, basically, that lives in his stomach. And when he eats anything with carbs in it, that yeast ferments the item in his stomach and turns it into alcohol.
He self-ferments.
How do I get some of that?
It's called gut fermentation syndrome.
I know, but you wouldn't really actually be going out then.
Just think if you could just take like 2 Sudafed and it turned into meth.
Wow.
I'm a self-cooker.
Wow,
that would be awesome.
Yes, well, they have managed to curb his syndrome somewhat. He's on an ultra low carb diet, and I mean you have to have some carbs because that's what your brain functions on. He's on an ultra low carb diet, and they have him on lifelong antifungal medications to try to keep the yeast in his stomach down. But
you know, many people out there are like, I wonder how I could get that disease. I'll never have to go out and be hammered every day.
I would never have to buy booze again. Sure. Think how much money we'd save.
God, can you imagine
have a ham sandwich and just be done?
Yes.
Dude, me, a lonely weekend, and a loaf of Weber's.
I know.
Wonder Bread. Get you drunk 9 ways.
Could you imagine if the guy had like 6 drunk driving convictions? He'd get them all overturned.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't be his fault.
Right.
Well, and it baffled his wife because she was so convinced he was an alcoholic, she bought a breathalyzer. But because it goes directly from your stomach and your bloodstream, he never showed up with anything. She couldn't explain it. She didn't understand it. That when they did the blood test in the hospital was when they discovered the blood alcohol concentration was so high.
Guy walked around in a constant state of Foster Brooks.
Oh. Foster Brooks. If you guys have never seen Foster Brooks, you got to look him up on YouTube. Plays the most brilliant drunk guy ever.
Mm-hmm. In Crystal Lake, Illinois, it's not that much of a story, but Bill sent it in. And Bill said...
You're saying what Bill sends in is not much of a story?
Well, it's not a huge story. It's not a detailed, you know, there wasn't a ton of stuff that happened in it. But I thought it was funny because Bill sent in, Bill said, sometimes running for the ice cream truck is not a good idea. Crystal Lake, Illinois, a 42-year-old man was crossing the street, crossing Route 14 when he was hit by an ice cream truck.
Ow.
Yes, he was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries.
Life-threatening injuries?
He is listed in critical but stable condition. He was not in the crosswalk when he was hit.
The ice cream truck was playing Helter Skelter.
Well, ice cream truck plays really weird crap.
He went flying sideways, became a sidewalk Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh. Yikes.
Bill will be showing up
later.
From
the last story, the peanut gallery asked, would that guy still be considered to be an alcoholic? From the previous story.
Well, no, because he didn't do it himself. It wasn't like he wanted to be that way. He never actually drank the booze.
He may have wanted to be that way.
I'm powerless over bread and my life has become unmanageable.
Yeah, really. Oh, my gosh. Okay, here's an interesting thing because I didn't know that you didn't have to do this. I kind of read this and went, huh? This is in France. There's new proposed legislation that would make paying for sex illegal. So apparently up until this law passes, you can pay for sex and it's legal.
Yeah, and?
I didn't know that prostitution was legal in France. I thought that was just like Amsterdam.
Fine. Vegas.
However, there are a lot of people that are against this criminalization of prostitution. They said that it will...
Against the criminalization?
Yes, they're against the criminalization of it because they say that it will be detrimental to the sex workers who live in France. It will force them underground because they don't want to put their clients at risk. Because what this law is doing is it's acknowledging prostitutes as victims of crime and the criminals are actually the Johns.
Okay, that doesn't work on so many levels.
Well, I'm just telling you.
You sure this isn't New York?
Yeah, the way things are going in
New York.
This
sounds like a Bloomberg thing.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you. I was just surprised because...
I'm just too confused to even comment on that story.
Yeah, and let people do what they're going to do.
Okay, Bill sent another one in, and I'm going to use his little tag too because it said, I knew it, you Gmail user, because our email is Gmail. Uh-huh. The NSA and the CIA have announced that terrorists around the world prefer to communicate with Gmail. And so Bill said, I knew it, you Gmail user. How they know that, I'm not sure.
Because they're going through everyone's Gmail.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. The remarks were made by Michael Hayden in a speech that he gave at an Episcopal church, which is strange in and of itself, but okay.
Okay.
You know, what's really silly about this whole thing with communicating via email is it's so well known the way that you communicate with people if you don't want anybody to read or to see or to pick up a message you sent. You have one email account. Both people have the access code. You write a draft. You leave it in the draft folder. The other person comes and reads it and erases it. It never goes out. Everybody knows that.
I didn't know that.
I didn't think
so. Well, I mean, it makes sense, but I would have never thought of using it for that.
Yeah.
So now we know which one of
well,
us is
no,
really
you know
terrorist.
What?
Now
no,
you know
no,
the,
no, no,
now
no.
You know the criminal of the group, don't yes. you?
You know what, though?
Yeah.
I don't buy it because I don't think it would have to go anywhere. Once it's saved in their system, which a draft is, I'll bet they could still find it. I don't think you'd actually have to send it. I think if they scoured
can't
the system.
Can't intercept what doesn't go out, though.
Yeah, that's true. You can't intercept it.
You wouldn't
it.
Have to intercept it. All
yeah,
it'd have to be is saved
to
in their.
Out.
I know, but it's saved in their system. I wouldn't bet my terrorist degree on it.
Talk to your three favorite terrorists; they will tell you.
Yeah, but I used to work in email support, and I'm pretty sure that once it's a draft, it stays in that system. You can delete it all you want, but I think it's still there. I think it's gettable.
But if it doesn't go out, it can't be intercepted. So
it can't be intercepted, but it could be gotten at the source.
Well, at the source it can, but that's you're not going to trace the person down by intercepting an email.
Well, you won't be able to trace.
So how will you know it's there?
Well,
if I got fatherflanagan@gmail.com, who the hell's ever going to look for anything?
Yeah, but the fact that Father Flanagan logs in from Dubai, an IP address in Dubai, like he writes a draft, 10 minutes later he's clear across the world in Dubai, that would be a big red flag.
Okay. Anyway, now that we've sorted that out, we're back in France.
I don't want to get all technical on you guys.
We're back in France again.
We are.
Yes. A flight from Venezuela.
Is prostitution still legal?
Well, at this moment, it is.
Okay.
But they're
going
to be voting on that.
Okay,
soon.
Just checking.
On a flight from Venezuela, 30 suitcases appeared that were never claimed.
Gee, I wonder what's in those.
Okay. I'll bite. How come?
Yeah, they were sitting there on the tarmac. No one claimed them, and they sat there and they sat there. Finally, the airport officials went to look at the suitcases. They had no tags on them. There was no identification.
Okay.
They opened one of the suitcases, and it was chock full of cocaine.
Whereby they had a big party at the airport that night.
Yeah.
30 suitcases.
30 suitcases. There were
36 suitcases.
Now, wait a minute.
Big suitcases. A total of 1.3 tons of pure cocaine.
Oh.
So whatever happened to, like, all these drug-sniffing, bomb-sniffing dogs and all that? Apparently none on this flight.
Apparently there are none on the flight from Caracas to Paris.
Well, Mark, you head to Caracas, I'm heading to Paris.
Because obviously in South America they don't figure you're going to be shipping any drugs from there.
Yeah.
I guess not. They did investigate, and it just says in quotes here, several people have been taken into custody. Don't exactly know how they would know, because there was no identification. It was just suitcases.
The guy that came up and said, hey, is there any unclaimed baggage?
I'm missing my Coke.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I had a large shipment of baby powder coming in.
Yeah. I'm chafed.
Oh, brother.
Really chafed badly.
Now we're going.
I'm a rash.
We're going to Colorado.
We are.
Okay.
Yes, for this last one. Now, there's a proposition on their ballot coming up that is called Proposition AA.
Okay. What's this about?
It's going to establish tax rates on recreational marijuana sales. Because now it's, you know, recreational marijuana is now legal in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
But there are people, a group called Say No to Proposition AA.
They're all stoners that don't want to pay extra.
Yes, they don't want to establish tax rates on recreational marijuana.
This was the reason why they legalized it.
So what they did was they're planning an event called the Free Joint Event, where they're giving out free joints to people. And they have invited Mr. and Mrs. Biden to come along, because they will be in Colorado.
Could you see Uncle Joe?
Loaded.
Stoned.
Oh my
That'd be
God.
Awesome.
He's not?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
They will be in Colorado to survey damage from the floods. And the organizers are hoping that he will be able to participate in this event.
Yeah, not a chance.
Well, which event? Looking at the floods or
smoking
free
the weed?
Joint day?
What they're objecting to in the taxation bill is not the fact that they're going to tax recreational marijuana.
Uh-huh.
It's the fact that when the original bill legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes was put through, it was specifically stated that the taxation rate would be equivalent to that for alcohol. They were equating it with alcohol.
Okay.
But the bill, Proposition AA, the taxation rate for marijuana is much higher. So they don't want that.
Well,
first of all, they get the taxation rate, and then they'd also get the sales tax.
Hold on, because...
Because...
I'm thinking.
Epic pause.
Epic pause.
It's not an epic pause. I'm just trying to formulate words correctly. You know, it's late. We've been doing this for a while. I'm just trying to figure out an ounce of marijuana and, like, a gallon of booze Should be about the same tax amount, shouldn't it?
You'd think it would. I scrolled down a little bit. This new bill will authorize a 30% state tax on recreational marijuana as opposed to the 15% tax on booze.
I think they should tax it the same way they tax cigarettes.
What, way too much?
Yeah. Or gasoline.
Dude.
Oh, I know.
If you took all the taxes off gasoline, it'd be like 12 cents a gallon.
No, it would be a little less than a buck. And once in a while, you'll see a gas station that actually sticks the thing on their pumps that tells you exactly
how
much
you're
paying. Well,
they used to on every gas station.
I know, but
now they have it stuck somewhere in the corner because they do have to display it.
Yeah.
I always like how the government yells about the oil companies, but the government actually makes more money on a gallon of gasoline
than
the oil companies do.
Yeah. Way more.
I just like the little flyer that they put out for their free joint event. It said, flood relief doesn't stop at clothes, medical supplies, food, and shelter. People lost their pot, too. Cannabis is expensive as it is. So this Monday, no on Proposition AA is headed to Boulder to give joints away to medical marijuana patients and stressed out recreational users.
Can you imagine somebody ships a truckload of water there to help the victims and somebody in California ships a truckload of weed?
then we got to have a truckload of Cheetos.
To go with the weed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait. And Twinkies are back,
Twinkies
right?
Twinkies are
back. Yes, Twinkies are back.
Okay.
God,
Bimbo
God.
Bakery is going to be sending a big truckload of Twinkies.
Humanitarian aid.
That's right. Twinkies, ho-hos, and dope.
Sweet.
Perfect.
Happy-headed ho-hos.
Yeah.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at selfwillhappens.com. Mark, we have a topic.
We do.
And how did it come up?
I have been in meetings. It seems like every meeting I've been in lately, the side conversations and the little phrases interrupting people to share.
Crosstalk?
Well, not crosstalk, because crosstalk by definition is sharing to someone about what they shared.
Something they
just
shared, yes.
Just disruptive. I mean, the topic I came up with was I sharing too loudly for you? Or pardon the interruption.
I think pardon the interruption.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Just because it'll fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll fit. Well, Shelley, what do you think?
A little PTI? Pardon the interruption.
Oh. I don't know. I hear it going on a lot. I think maybe I have a slightly different perspective on it because most of my sobriety has taken place within a group that is, generally speaking, loud and rowdy. Mm-hmm. And I have secretaried those groups, I think all of them, actually, at one time or another.
Whip at a chair?
Yeah. Oh, one of them got so bad that our wonderful listener, Robert, had to send me a megaphone so I could get them to shut up.
Well, megaphone is not the right way to put that. It was a construction site quality bullhorn. Yeah.
Yes, it was. And it worked really well, actually, for a while there.
How's that group going?
Actually, it's going really well right now.
Good.
so I'm not... I can take the interruptions and the ruckus mm-hmm. up to a certain point. When someone's in the middle of sharing, though, it bugs me. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, our groups are pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. Although there have been times when I've had to give people the evil eye.
The hairy eyeball?
And mad dog them because they're... Nah, 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 nah. You know, there's several meetings I've been into that say crosstalk is rude, or side conversations are rude and considered disrespectful to take it outside. And I think that I agree with that.
How about you, Mark?
I put that into a format one time.
Oh, then that must be where I've heard it so much.
Oh, ah. Okay, that's right. Format for that meeting, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
I was in a meeting the other night, and this is going to be really hard to combat because the secretary brought her 3-year-old child who walked up to every single person as they were sharing and started hitting them with his little puppet horse while they were sharing.
I would have grabbed that horse so fast.
I mean, just like walked up to people, started doing that, and then would talk to his mom while they're somebody's sharing. And finally, one guy was in the middle of a sharing. He finally said, "Yeah, that's it. I'm done." It's just, you know. And he was sharing some stuff that it, you know, yeah. You could just tell he was like very frustrated. And
Ninja mom arm would have snaked out and grabbed that toy, and yeah. That would have been the end of puppet horse.
I stuck my foot out when he walked by.
Oh, okay. You don't need to trip the kid.
I didn't. I just stuck my foot out. He tripped himself.
We're going to get mail over that.
I get mail over everything. What difference does it make?
I was had met someone at had come out from Florida to go to the Prism Awards. Mm-hmm. And Prism Awards, where they give out awards for realistic interpretation of mental health illness and alcoholism addiction in the media. You know, shows like Breaking Bad and stuff like that win awards. And this gal came out from Florida named Dawn. I won't put her last name, but she came out. We took her to an NA meeting at a place called the Snake Pit, which is down in Paramount near Long Beach. And we're sitting in the meeting, and I heard that. I hear that. There's things walking through the studio somewhere.
I think things trying to escape.
But anyway, so we're there at this meeting, and there's these two girls that are cross-talking over. They're not cross-talking. They're talking with each other the entire time that this one guy is sharing. Mm-hmm. Dawn raises her hand. I don't know this girl from Adam. I've never met her before. This is my first experience ever with this woman. She says, "My name's Dawn, and I'm an addict." She looks over and she goes, "Shut the fuck up!" She goes, "Take your goddamn conversation out the fucking parking lot. People are dying in here." And I'm like, "Oh, hey, wow."
I don't even know her, and I like her.
Yeah, she just went through this dissertation after that on, you know, there's a door 3 feet away. Walk out the door and talk if you want to talk. And those girls shut up.
I'll bet.
And they didn't say anything for the rest of the meeting. They didn't share. They didn't do anything. They just sat there with their hands in their laps. And it was pretty – I thought it was pretty interesting. My friend James and my other friend Lee were like, "Who the hell is this chick?" And I'm like, "Dude, she had a perfect right to
do
that."
She's my hero.
Yeah. No, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, you ever hear anything good? I don't mean like good as in like program related, but like just like the weirdest type of thing you might hear someone in the background say.
No, because I'm usually trying to listen to whoever's sharing, yeah. Not to somebody else's side conversation.
I think it depends on your proximity to the person that's
but
sharing.
Sometimes it's like a train crash.
Yeah.
You don't want to listen, but you have to.
Because they're right behind you and they're discussing their, you know, hemorrhoid removal surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, now see, that's what I meant. That's the kind of good stuff.
Okay, that's
kind of
cool.
You want to be able to report on. Yeah. I can't say I got to sit on a donut.
I listened to this guy hit on this girl one time during half a meeting behind me.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, like you never heard that before.
I mean, it started before the break, and after the break, she went and sat somewhere else, and he moved over and sat next to her.
Wasn't a clue.
Okay, that's creepy.
Oh, what I love are people that are having side conversations with someone who's not even in the room because they've answered their phone in the middle of a meeting.
They got a Bluetooth on?
No. I'm sorry. Well, maybe some, they do. But, like, I know specifically of one person. His phone will ring fairly regularly in the meeting, ringy dingy. People are sharing, and he answers the phone and says, "Hello, yeah, okay, what?" And my jaw always drops. I'm like, "Turn it off,
Fausto."
That's only one of them. Oh. The other one is your sponsor.
Oh,
I've never heard my sponsor.
Yes, he does.
I've never seen him.
In fact, he has then interrupted the person who's sharing and said, "Hey, so and so's on the phone," and the whole meeting then goes, "Hi."
Oh, okay.
It's happened at Tuesday several times. That drives me crazy.
I don't know. Shelly has it in for my sponsor. She hates him.
I do not. I love him.
Nobody hates your sponsor.
No. How about the ones? Have you ever done the shut the F up thing yourself?
As a secretary, when the meeting got out of control. Although I made the mistake once of when everybody was blah, 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 for no apparent reason whatsoever, I said, "Oi, we're having a meeting here." And then for the next 6 months, everyone would say, "Oi," every time I said, "My name is Shelly and I'm an alcoholic."
"My name's Shelly, I'm an alcoholic." "Oi, Shelly."
Yes, everybody said, "Oi," for like 6 months.
"Oi, Kelly."
It was, yeah, exactly. It was very annoying.
So how about you, Mark?
I'd never do anything like that.
Today,
how much?
Last week,
I've heard you do it to people that I've okay. heard you do it to people that were yeah. sharing.
Well, yeah, I've done it to people who are actively sharing. Told them to shut the fuck up, but
yeah,
but I've done it. I usually though I'll wait till somebody's done sharing and I'll do similar to what your friend Don did and share about it.
Yeah, we were. I was at a meeting at the very in the location of the very first NA meeting, which. Isn't there anymore, but it was at a church in like Studio City or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Impact House. We're in there. There's these, it's a candlelight meeting. And this guy is sharing, all 20 days of him. And he says something extremely important to share. And he's sharing, and you can hear his, and this guy says, "It's really disrespectful when people are sharing it. Other people in the room are having side conversations and laughing and this and that."
Yes.
Finishes this. "Thanks for letting me share." His arm go up in the back of the room. "My name's whatever. I'm an addict." Says, "I've been coming to this meeting for like some ridiculous amount of time. I've been coming to this meeting for 31 years." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "You know what? Do I crosstalk and laugh and stuff?" He goes, "Yes, I do." And he goes, "You know what?
What?
I'll be here to save a seat for you when you get back." And he says, "Because you know what?" He goes, "What? I always heard if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I've been doing it since the first day I was here. And I don't think it's broke, so I ain't fixing it."
So clearly he hasn't grown much because he's still just as rude as he was when he walked in the door.
You don't know. He might have been much ruder.
That's true. He might have been.
Could have been.
But I mean, in terms of the rudeness factor. I mean, everybody in the meeting kind of has a responsibility to nurture appropriate behavior in the meeting. I mean,
and I hear that all the time.
Well, I mean, I'll give you an example. I used to go to a women's NA meeting, and one day this gal comes in. Obviously, I didn't know her, but everybody else did, and she hadn't been there for a while. But she needed a meeting really badly, had no one to care for her kid, and she had some heavy duty crap going on, and the kid was like pinballing all over the place, blah blah blah. So the other women in the group started taking turns taking the kid out of the room and entertaining them for a few minutes, and then they'd bring him back and they just pass the kid around so that she could sit in the meeting because she clearly needed to be there and she had no other way to be there other than to bring her kid with her. And that worked really well.
I was at the Brick House one time. This gal comes in, has her kid. Kid's probably 6. Not the quietest kid. Someone decides they're, or mom decides she's going to help out. She's going to give him a game to play on her phone. Does she mute the volume? No, she doesn't. The kid is playing Angry Birds on his phone, and you keep hearing all the sound effects. And the phone isn't, like, turned down at all. And I remember looking, there was a guy, Jody, was there. And yep. I'm looking at Jody, and he's looking at me, and we're looking at each other like, Really? Because this kid, you could totally hear the game the whole time.
Yeah.
And at coffee break, someone went up and said, could you mute that phone, please, so we don't have to hear Angry Birds? Because I hear, you know, you hear, I hear it in meetings like where people are talking and stuff where a variety pack of people in the room might turn around and go, shh, mm-hmm. shh. You know, because you hear it from a couple of people, and most people, if they don't even realize they're doing it, it's very common for people to talk when you first start the meeting back up after break. I hear that at Tuesday night all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of people in the middle of a conversation, we say, hey, my name's Shelly and I'm an alcoholic, and you still hear these guys.
How about people who are like texting or playing games on their phones during meetings?
Well, no, that's an interesting question because I jumped James' crap one day because I was really ticked off. He's like sitting there in the meeting. I thought it was totally disrespectful. I could tell he was playing Tetris on his phone during the meeting. And he said, no, that helps me listen. And I was like, yeah, right. Playing Tetris helps you listen. Year later, I'm in meetings. I am edgy as all heck. I'm watching the clock. I'm not paying attention. I can't listen. I'm just sitting there fidgeting. And one day I took my yarn with me and started crocheting in the meeting. And
it's
all of a sudden,
so disrespectful.
Some people do consider it. You know what? Well, I don't care anymore because I have found I get 10 times more out of it when my hands are occupied. I have heard more in meetings in the last 2 years than I did the 4 years previous.
My girlfriend says that too. She'll sit and knit during a meeting.
Yeah.
During a speaker meeting. While speaker's speaking, she'll be there knitting.
So now let me ask you this. So you're knitting. Someone else is texting. Neither one of them is loud. Neither one of them really bothers other people. What's the problem?
Because other people think that unless you're sitting there staring at whoever's speaking, then it's rude.
Okay.
Because somebody did after a meeting like a few months ago come up and say that, you know, do you really need to do that? I think it's rude and disrespectful. And I said, well, actually, it helps me listen, which is exactly what James said to me. So now I think I went back and apologized to
him. I was going
to
say, did you ever make amends to him for that?
If I haven't, I better ask him if I had.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, there was at the Monday meeting that I used to secretary, there was a woman that came for a while, and she didn't have anybody to take care of her kids, and she brought her kids in. They were not the most well-behaved children, but they became a lot less of a distraction when I went to the dollar store and bought a bunch of coloring books and crayons and took them into the meeting.
Wow, that's good.
Good thinking.
That worked like a charm. What I mean by other people. You need to take responsibility for your own meeting. If you have a solution, bring it.
See, I was a whole lot meaner. Same meeting Bruce was talking about, probably the same kid. At the break, I just bought him a whole bunch of candy. Figure, let mom deal with that when she gets home at night. I did. It's like, here's some now and laters, and here's some red licorice, and here's some. I did. I bought him like a bunch of candy.
A Hershey bar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only thing you could have done better is bought him a puppy.
The drum
and a Red
set.
Bull.
A drum set. wow. That's awesome. We have a friend that tends to bring his. He hasn't come around that much lately because he moved, but he used to bring his two boys with him. And these are rambunctious boys.
Yes, they are.
Rambunctious boys. Matter of fact, so rambunctious that they'd be outside. And it was still bothering the inside of the meeting because they would just be
screaming. Just hear.
Matter of fact, one of these boys, one time, I had a pretty, I had a pretty fresh La Gloria Cubana cigar. I left it in the ashtray outside.
Uh-huh.
The kid took a leak in the ashtray, and I'm looking at my friend. I'm like, really? And he's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, really? That's what they get? That's the beat down they get is you really shouldn't do that?
Did you cut the end off the cigar before you relit it?
I didn't light it, dude. It was done. $12 cigar. Three puffs off it.
I remember that.
Three puffs off it. And the kid, I'm like, dude, there's an entire grassy area here where you could go way off in the back
there's
corner behind all those trees. And there's a bathroom closer
away.
Than that. Ah. So, Shelly.
Yes.
What are your final words on, pardon the interruption?
I don't know. I think that we all get the kind of meetings that we deserve. So if you want a better meeting, set a better example.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm done.
Look at that. Shelly comes up with a good one. Mark.
Wow. I don't even know where to go from there. Yeah, you know. One of the things this program taught me was to grow up. So if you're not growing up, it'd be a really good idea to start focusing on growing up, because they do say you either grow or you go.
Hmm. I have such a different opinion of this. You know what? I really don't care. I really don't.
We know.
There, you know what?
I know.
There, you know what? People are going to do what people are going to do. And there will always be new people that come around that haven't grown yet because they're new. And there will always be those kind of conversations. And, you know, you might hear me do the occasional shh or be quiet. You know what? It's okay. It doesn't bug me that much. Of course, I'm the perpetrator of this many times.
Yes, I was going to say.
I'm sure that it's my fault many times.
Yes, you're the one over there.
Shelley and I both brought this topic up specifically for you.
Yeah, well, you know. You know, I.
Bruce is the one at the forefront of the mark, 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 mark thing that goes on for 20 minutes.
Hey, you know what?
What?
It's okay.
Okay.
Shit happens.
That's right.
Mark, we got a friend back east.
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can just find publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription. He will send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather,
Shelley's having a
Shelley doesn't have your own little.
She's having her own personal summer.
I'm having a tropical vacation all by myself.
She doesn't have hot flashes. Yeah. She has power surges.
Yeah. You can contact Bruce and he'll send you copies of the 12 Step Gazette to strew about the location.
How about if they want to have a franchise?
Then they should do what we've told them to do on 180 other shows.
500 other shows.
Contact Bruce to give you all the information you need to bring the 12 Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Shelley, people are listening.
No, they're not.
Really?
In
are you sure
droves.
About that? I know.
Oh, no, I'm 100% sure.
However you listen to the show, we appreciate that. But if you could go to recovery101.net, and that's our site, and click on one of the shows, click like or permalink, or click permalink then like, whatever. If you're a member of Podomatic, that's awesome because you've just been counted. It helps with our numbers, our demographics, so to speak.
Demographics.
If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can, what can you do? You can go back to old shows. You can click like and post topics and comments.
Comments.
Playlists.
Sorry, I'm having a brain cloud. You can follow us.
Yes, you can.
You can get automatic updates when we post the show.
Yes, you can.
And the most important feature, the playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Put us on your Saturday night playlist.
Your Recovery 101 playlist.
Whoop, whoop.
Put it on like 10 and turn the speaker out in the window so that you can, like, the whole neighborhood can hear.
Or if you're having a nice party, put it on to play right at the time you want the party to break up.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone will go home.
The dancing.
Everyone will go home. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like our fan page. That's Recovery 101 Radio Show. It's clipping right along. We're at like 2,500 plus likes in only a couple few short weeks. So we're cranking right along there. If you happen to be on my friends list.
Aren't you special?
Yeah. If you happen to be on my friends list, you should go and like that show page too, because my friends list, once again, inching up towards 5,000.
4996 again?
It's up there. So it's helpful if you go over to the fan page, because then it doesn't clog up my friends list, because it's almost to the max again, even though I culled it down a little bit. If you want to talk about recovery and you don't really want anyone to know you're talking about recovery, you can look up the Recovery 101 group. And that one, it's a closed group, so you have to ask if you can be a member. We will definitely let you be a member. You can talk to the chat, the people that do the boozy news. You can actually post boozy news. Well, you know, it'd be better if you send boozy news to the Recovery 101 radio at Gmail account, because then other people don't hear it before it goes to the show. Or you could probably private message Shelley with it, and she'd get it that way as well. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. Don't forget, because we're not getting any.
What?
If you want to hold up a sign that says Recovery 101, topless.
Nobody's sending those?
No.
It's amazing how no one's sending them. And you know why?
Why?
Because those shows haven't gone up yet.
Oh,
well, then maybe they are.
They're coming up.
Okay. Maybe they are sending them, and we just don't know yet.
Okay.
Sweet.
Keep those cards and letters coming in.
Awesome.
You know, I do have one caveat that this just occurred to me because it happened a few weeks ago. If you do request to join the Recovery 101 group, we're just there to have fun and discuss the show. We'd love to have you come in and have fun, but we really don't want people advertising their personal products in the group. And we will take those down.
Well, and remember, my guess is that sometimes those are people whose accounts have been hacked.
It's possible, but I'm just letting people know.
We can advertise our show in there, though.
Well, there are a couple of shows that do post stuff in there. That's fine because those are recovery-related things. It's just I don't really need an advertisement for, like, home improvement in the middle of our recovery group.
Perfect. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who is the lead out music by
Deer in the Headlights?
The Evangelicals.
Nice.
So sweet?
Yes.
The Evangelicals. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
So much about him to love, and when I say that I can't live without him, it's just that living without him wouldn't be living, 'cause there's a way in which he brings me my sunshine, my blue skies and all my rainbows too, and in return I like to give him the weather, the stars above and all my morning dew. Sits on my face when he disappears, and it seems there's something special about him, though everybody's special in their own special way, but there's something about his kind of special, his kind of special really makes my day. long as you've got love for me. Long as you've got love for me. Long as you've got love for me. Long as you've got love for me.